This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
I'm Tanner.
Tanner, welcome back to Country
it's
Squire
good
Radio.
To be back.
Yeah. So, as you may notice, those of you who are tuning in and are familiar with this podcast beyond the episodes that John David is not here, John David's not here.
He's not.
He's the normal co-host, but of course, Tanner has agreed to be part of the John David Cold Daddy Support System Brigade. I don't know.
That's good. We could get our whole little acronym for that.
And cards everything. And t-shirts, I think. And at this point, it's you and Brian Levine. So it's a very select group of people.
Wow, I'm Brian Levine. Wow, okay.
No. Don't be that honored.
I'm honored.
Have you met him?
I'm trying to flatter him a little bit.
Yeah. Have you met him?
I've not. I've not had the privilege.
Yeah. As soon as you do, all of the pomps and
stuff. It's no longer a privilege?
It goes out the window. I'm just kidding. What's great is, and I've been able to do this a couple of times with a few different people, is I've known and worked with people who, when I knew them, nobody else did, and then they've blown up, and like everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know this person. I'm like, yeah. I was like, I could tell you stories.
Oh yeah.
And then there's other folks that like are already celebrities that are not celebrities to me personally. I'm not saying Brian's one of those, because of course I celebrate Brian as much, if not more, than anybody. But you know, we've mentioned on the show Brian Austin Green, and how a couple weeks back I was in LA for Live with Brian Austin Green, which is a podcast.
Oh, wow, yeah.
They actually, by the way, in the opening for the show, they play the clip from Bagpipes from him as a pipe shop
owner.
That's
incredible.
And anyway, but it's so wild, because like there was 700 folks showed up for that show. It was massive. And it was at the school where they shot 90210.
Oh wow.
Which I never watched 90210, but while I was sitting there helping with, you know, working the door and just kind of helping with everything going on, someone pointed out to me that it was also Sunnydale from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I was like, "Well, hang on now.
This place.
I do care about that. Let me take a look at this, that, and that." But the weird thing is, like, you know, people like freak out about Brian. I'm like, "Yeah, but like, you know, he's just a dude, right?
He's a guy."
It's just something funny about that.
That's how it is in the shop. We've got a few local celebrities. The comedian Ali Sadiq.
Yes.
He comes in absolutely. Often. And then some of the Astros, Lance McCullers, one of the pitchers, he comes in.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a lot shorter than he is on TV. So when he first started
Most
coming in.
Most baseball players are, yeah.
But he's a pitcher, so it should be tall. But when he came in, I was like, oh, just some regular guy, you know, chatting up with him. Then as his receipt prints out, it says Lance McCullers on. I was like, oh.
There you go.
There it is.
Could you sign this, please, sir? And could you sign this?
Yeah, while you're signing the receipt, also sign this baseball.
Yeah. Everybody signs a baseball. We're out of printed paper. That's how we're going to do that. That'll work just fine. But yeah, no, it's we saw that when I was in Memphis, actually, because I was there right before the Grizzlies were actually good. And I was there the year that they got good, because Rudy Gay broke either his back or his leg or something.
Something, yeah.
And we had the Grizzlies would come into our shop and kind of the shop around and that sort of thing. We'd watch them go through the mall to zero fanfare. And then like overnight, they would walk into the mall and everybody would flock to them. Suddenly it's not just Rudy, it's the entire team. And like everybody knows who they are. But anyway, we're not here to talk about celebrities, man. We're here to talk about pipes of pipe tobacco. And of course, this is Country Squire Radio. I should also mention this as well, if this is your first time listening to Country Squire Radio. John David Cole, the tobacconist of the Country Squire, is currently enjoying the newfound role of fatherhood.
Yeah.
And so we have a series of hosts coming in, filling up his shoes and doing an excellent job with it. Tanner, of course, you are the tobacconist apprentice here at a local pipe shop called the Briar Shop in Houston, Texas. And man, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, specifically the pipe scene here in Houston, the kind of surrounding Texas areas. But I kind of want to do that through the lens of the Briar Shop itself, because this is a historic shop.
Yeah. The Briar Shop, we've been here since 1962, I believe, is when it first opened its doors. So it's been around in the city for a long time. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, it was the first ever all-female owned and operated tobacconist in the United States.
Yeah. Now, this is so interesting, because, you know, in a industry that is kind of seen as pretty much a boys club or very yeah. much kind of with a male focus. That is true for the Briar Shop. And also, you know, the Country Squire had its stint where it was female owned and operated for the majority of its lifespan, I want to say. John David could be here to correct me my math, but with Miss Reeves specifically being the owner operator.
Yeah.
But for y'all, it wasn't just one lady at the helm. Y'all actually had a team.
Yeah, so it was the lady who founded it, her name was Miss Alice Amison. She had a little candy stand inside of a pharmacy downtown Houston, and she just noticed that different customers were coming in asking a lot for tobacco products and stuff, and that particular pharmacy I guess didn't sell any, and so she was like, "Well, you know what?
Most people were going to the candy stand. I got to get the tobacco taste out of my mouth. Let me get some candy. But most of them like, no, I want to get the candy taste out of my mouth. Where can I get my pipe?
Yeah, yeah. And so she noticed that, and so she went and a really famous lawyer here in town, Racehorse Haynes,
yeah.
loaned her $500, and that's how it all started.
Man, what a great. So she was she still kind of starting directly out of her cart, or did she get a retail
location? Yeah, she had kind of a small little booth space there, some counter space that was hers, and then eventually she got her own space where the medical district is now, and she was there for 20-some-odd years before we're in the location we're at now. So she had an all-female staff. Her daughters worked for her for quite a long time, and she just had other ladies who she hired, and finally, when Miss Alice passed away, her daughters ran it, and eventually now her grandchildren run it now. So Bill and Diane, they are the proprietors now of the shop, and so it stayed in the same family, been the same family for its whole run.
How about that? Three generations.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. And of course, this the shop has grown quite a bit. Now, the current location that it's at the moment, was after moving from the counter, was that the kind of the main location, or have they moved around a couple times?
So this is the second location after the origin. So
okay.
So they were in the medical district, and they got kicked out of there because they were about to level a building and build a parking garage. And now I don't even think it's a parking garage anymore. I think there's an actual
It's a hospital, pipe tobacco shop.
Oh, hospital yeah, on it. And that'd be great. If it was again, that'd
full
be good.
Full circle. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. But so they moved to this location. And so this is where it's been for the longest stint of time, 27 years in this location. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So so they opened up this location that it's at right now. It has grown. And it's interesting because if you walk through the doors at the Briar Shop, you know, last episode we joked about your friend, the archivist who
yes.
should open up a museum. But to some extent, I mean, the shop almost exists as a museum. There's so much memorabilia.
It really and is.
Product notwithstanding, there's just so much that's captured there
yeah.
On the walls and shelves. Can you kind of talk about some of the relics that are on display?
Yeah, so we've got quite a few relics. We've got Miss Alice's her own pipe, her Meerschaum Eagle Claw pipe that she would smoke.
Yeah,
yeah, it's got a beautiful patina on it.
Gosh, wow! Could you imagine having like your grandmother's? Or I guess do they have kids? The current owners, they have kids?
They do.
So your great grandmother's pipe up there on the wall. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's incredible. And we have customers all the time. Can I buy that one? It's so beautiful.
Yeah,
and we're like, oh no, that one is that's awful. It's not for sale ever. And so we've also got a big kind of, not a photo wall, but one of our kind of cabinet spaces. We've got photos in from just different events throughout the year. So you can really kind of look back in time at how the shop was run for so long, you know, people having fancy parties and stuff. It's really neat to see. And we've got a bunch of newspaper articles. I don't know how long ago this was. I think it was in the 90s. The Houston Chronicle did a huge article on Miss Alice about how she started. And so it just details her whole story to where the shop was then in the 90s. And so it's pretty amazing, you know, different things in the shop, old tobacco cutters, you know, the kind of lever kind for cutting plugs, old pipe racks in there, just dusty, dust-covered stuff
that you cannot find anymore.
Yeah, that you can't find anymore.
Now, with you know, it being around so long, are there blends that have stood the test of time? Are there any particular blends, for example, that she herself came up with?
There are. There's some of the blends have since themselves been replaced by Lane products.
Yeah, well, I'd imagine it's too with the availability of certain recipes and that sort mm-hmm. of thing. Yeah.
But one of the earliest blends that I know of is Accountant, which has since been replaced by a Lane product. But it was just a blend of vanilla flavored Virginia tobacco and Black Cavendish, and that's been one of our most popular blends. And occasionally we'll have customers who want the old blended the old way. They don't want the other variant.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And do you, I would imagine, I know you're an apprentice, but have they taught you both ways?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a very fairly simple blend. So okay. We've got all the recipe cards and everything.
Isn't that interesting? Because I feel like, you know, I mean, part of the nature of more the modern tobacconist is finding all of these different nuances to really mm-hmm. kind of call it your own, a pinch of this, or, you know, this right. kind of, you know, slight percentage to make it your own. But when you go back to the classics, it's all like, well, it's fairly simple.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're getting back to some of those older, well, one of those blends, a customer came up with he's been at the shop, gosh, probably since the original location.
Yeah.
But he's got a blend there called Blend 101, and it is the most complex blend that we have in
really?
The shop. It requires so many different things, and we've recently been having to figure out how to kind of re-blend it because of loss of some of the tobaccos.
Sure, yeah.
So that blend is super, super complex, all the way down to some blend that's just two different tobaccos right. mixed together. It can be really kind of diverse range in there.
Well, the great thing about the Briar Shop is, of course, you know, as any tobacconist that you're going to find across Texas, across the country, you've got an excellent cigar humidor, mm-hmm. great options there. But y'all are very much a pipe shop. You're not oh, yeah. exclusively a pipe shop, but you are very much a pipe shop.
Very much a pipe shop. Pipe shop, for as long as it's been open, it's been the Briar Shop, you know, so yeah. pipes first and foremost. And we've seen the tides shift, you know, from pipes to cigars, and pipes has picked up a big renaissance, though. I mean, not a day goes by that I don't at least sell someone a corncob pipe at the shop.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. It's pipe smoking, it's really picked up, and I've noticed it just from being a customer there to working there. It's really picked up, and it's younger people, you know, in their 20s, who are just interested in it. You know, their grandfather smoked it, and they're just trying to find some sort of connection, something that lasts, you know. And they just want to learn how to smoke, and you know, sometimes I don't see them ever again, sometimes they keep with it, but it's been pipes have been picking back up in a big way. Last year we were the number one I can't think of what it is, increase in sales of seven Ladeezy products, Ladeezy pipes.
Wow.
We outdid Yvonne Rees, and they're way bigger than we ever thought yeah. about being.
Well, I'm kind of curious. I mean, you know, obviously with Houston being such kind of it's an international town. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I kind of, you know, I was with my wife in New York City recently, and we were talking about how New York was kind of the gateway to the country. Well, if you think about it, Houston is really the gateway to the world, because we got NASA right here. The aliens are going to come here first.
Yeah, they're coming here first. Yeah.
So I mean, like, so literally, but in the meantime, before the space aliens get here, we've got folks from all over the country established here. So many great foods and flavors all yeah. coming together, and all different kind of desires in terms of what you're looking for out of those kind of flavor profiles.
Oh, yeah.
What is it like to try to, I guess, accommodate different folks from different areas who are, you know, maybe accustomed to, you know, more of kind of an Asian style of pipe, or, you know, more of a English style of pipe tobacco? Like, you know, do y'all have to go out of your way to increase that? Or do you find that y'all already have such a large amount of product that you're able to pretty much satisfy anybody who walks through the door?
It's kind of both. We're always very mindful of, you know, customers who could what they could potentially want from different, you know, regions of the world, really, and so we've got, you know, bamboo pipes for the guys who want a bamboo pipe. We've got the big pipes for the guys who want to smoke the really big, you know, magnums. And so it's just trying to be mindful of the trends that you notice and just try to fill the gap, but also just to have, we like to keep the shelves and the walls full of pipes. So when people come in, you know, it's an experience for them. It's like, wow, this place is a pipe shop. You know, this reminds me of something I've seen in a movie before, you know, it's that wow factor that you really like to give the customer.
Well, that's good, man. No, I remember, you know, obviously John David grew up in this area. And so when I mentioned that I was going to Houston, you know, he was very excited because of the fact the Briar Shop was here. He's like, you got to check it out. Those guys are amazing. You know, I think, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I feel like I've heard him kind of express that he's always kind of seen the Briar Shop and Country Squire as kind of like cousins from across the way, with that kind of, you know, strong pipe focus.
Right.
And there's a level of customer service that we love to brag about whenever we see it in shops. And the Briar Shop certainly has that. It's not one of these shops you're going to walk in and feel like you interrupted something. Like, there'll be different meetings going on, but there's livelihood. Right. You know what I mean? There's life in this shop.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to make everyone feel special, especially, you know, you can always tell when someone comes in and they don't want to be talked to.
Right.
They come in and their head's down. They're just beelining for the humidor in there, out of there.
right.
But if they start spending a little bit longer than probably 10 seconds in the humidor, then I know they probably need some help.
They need some help.
And you know, it's just people as they walk in the door, hey, how's it going? You know, and they come right up to the pipe counter and sit down, and you know, it's such a laid back atmosphere. People really don't have any guards up when they come into the shop, and so it's, you know, 5 second in and out could have turned into, you know, a 2 hour ordeal for you, but it's just the nature of it, you know.
So with kind of your unique seat, being behind the counter and seeing the different folks come in, you're also able to kind of observe the community as well. Mm-hmm. The Briar Shop is a known shop in the area. I've actually gotten a chance to, you know, as I've met different people in Houston and, you know, like, oh, wait, you like cigars, you know, you like cigars too. Oh, you like pipes too. Like, everyone is aware of the Briar Shop. It's an institution. Mm-hmm. And so you've got kind of a unique position to see the growth of the pipe community here in Texas.
Yeah.
State of the Texan pipe community. I'm putting you on the podium, so to speak. Where would you say, I know, and I say Texan, I realize we're really kind of mostly talking about Houston. Houston is not Texas. Texas is not Houston. Dallas is not Texas, and Texas is not Dallas. Although Dallas is kind of Texas.
And Austin is California.
Austin is completely, you know, it's Austin. But from a Houstoners standpoint, Houstonite.
Houstonian.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Let's get a historic perspective. where do you see the pipe culture here in the local areas?
You know, it's really funny. I rarely run into anyone else smoking a pipe when I'm out and about. There's a few places around town that I've encountered pipe smokers pretty regularly, but I think a lot of that, you know, not seeing people smoking out and about just stems from, I mean, a lot of places don't let you smoke, period, outside, even on their patios anymore. And so this kind of bugaboo idea that a lot of us in the pipe community have of not seeing anyone else smoking a pipe, it's kind of like, well, where else are they allowed to smoke smoke their pipe?
Yeah,
you know, there's a pub here in town that I really enjoy, but they'll let you smoke cigarettes outside on their patio, but no cigars or pipes.
Listen, if I ever owned a pub, I've thought about this many of times. Like, I would allow pipe smoking and probably cigar smoking to certain customers, but like, for the most part, like, I would ban cigarettes, but I would only allow pipes and cigars.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pub, for crying out loud.
I know, like cigarette, the smell of, I don't want to I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but I will say there is two, if your mindset is thinking about a communal environment, right? So the idea is that somebody else is there and what they're going to walk away with. Walking out with the stench of cigarette versus walking out with the stench of you know, pipe tobacco, everybody's going to choose pipe tobacco like 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Yeah.
I've told the story before, but when I was in Austin at the Briarworks pipe show out there, I was sitting down, bunch of older dudes, all smoking cigars. I whip out my pipe. I'm smoking some sort of like Christmas vanilla blend from I don't even remember whom. And as soon as I light it up, everybody turns to me and just says, "That smells amazing." You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like this is these hardcore cigar smokers. And like immediately, like, we just start this conversation because the smells take them back to like these, all these wonderful memories. It's
basically you've opened up a can of Febreze that smells like the past.
Right.
Whenever you're smoking a pipe, no one's going to complain about that. I've never had a single person.
Which pub is this, out of curiosity?
I won't say it on the show, but I'll tell you after. Right, I'll tell you after the show.
It's not the Richmond Arms, is it?
No, okay. It's not the Richmond Arms.
Okay, cool. All right. I want to make sure because I really like that pub, and I don't want to not like that. You
know
what I mean? No. All right, right on. Well, okay.
But so, back to the state of affairs of the pipe culture. I've seen it really, honestly, growing. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of young people. We're positioned right next to one of the most prestigious universities in the country, Rice University, and a lot of young people coming in. To just learn about pipe smoking and a lot of cigarette customers, we really try to transition them out of that. So we one of the easiest way to do this is we get them to start rolling their own cigarettes.
Sure.
And then now once they start really appreciating the tobacco that they're smoking, just move them over into pipe smoking.
That's a good path. I like that.
Yeah. It's been quite effective.
Now the Houston Pipe Club here as well is very active monthly pipe club. Meetings, great crowds. I haven't been the last one because I've been fighting off this like sickness that just will not go away. But I love the group here. How long have you been part of the pipe club here?
I've been going to the pipe club, for about 2 years, but I rarely get to go because my work schedule had been that I was closing on Friday nights. Pipe club meetings are on Friday nights, so I had not been able to go. But now that I've adjusted my schedule, I've been able to go with a lot more frequency. And it's a great group. And I mean, we've got Mike Butera himself as a member of the pipe club.
Yeah.
And so that's pipe carving royalty.
That's royalty. I mean, like you see it when you walk in the door and everything. He's got his entourage around him and everything.
Yeah.
And if I've noticed that when he gets up, like other people kind of get up around him and everything.
Yeah,
like
there's a group of older guys there who are big time collectors in the industry and they're well known. I mean, I've found on eBay, you know, books of just pipe smoking ephemera and stuff, and they'll have business cards, you know, and their business cards are always in those books because people, they just have collections that would blow you away.
It's interesting because he and I had gotten a bit of a discussion the first time I was there at the pipe club. Do you recall this?
Yeah, I do.
So it was interesting because as we were discussing this particular thing, which I won't mention on the show because I'm hoping John Dave and I have talked about wanting to kind of go in on this very touchy subject.
Oh, it's a touchy subject, yeah.
But as we were, I don't want to say debating, but sharing our strong views.
Yes.
I noticed that like people were starting to kind of gather around, and I realized that I'm sitting here talking to this titan of the industry, and I to many folks kind of represent a younger voice than his. And so it was this interesting thing that I kind of wanted it to end because I really did not want to walk away from that, like with the impression that I was trying to disrespect him, which I absolutely was not.
Yeah, no.
And because it is one of these things where, you know, the man has such a huge history in the industry, has such great perspective. I mean, like even just sharing back and forth in terms of kind of where marketing was for pipe tobacco back in his day and, you know, the way the industry worked back then and everything,
right.
Just great wealth of information and a great guy. But yeah, we started having that conversation. And I did. I mean, like, I just, because I'm short too. So, and he was sitting down, I was short. So we were on the same level. And like, people were just kind of standing up around us and gathering around. I'm like, this is not supposed to be a spectacle like right now. This
right.
is just a discussion.
Right.
But yeah, anyway, that being said, at some point, we're gonna bring up that very touchy issue on the show in the future.
I think that needs to be done.
But yeah, but that's the thing, man. It's a great group of guys that are here. That are very active. You know, we talk to people around the country all the time that are looking for, you know, how to establish that. And we'll talk about that more a little bit, but it's something that's just seems to have happened naturally here in Houston. But is that the case? I mean, as you mentioned, you got connected with the Pipe Club about 2 years ago, but how did you even find it? Like, was it just from a matter of being at the shop, working through the shop, or just being a fan?
It was just being at the shop. So there was another pipe shop here in town, near where the Pipe Club meets now. Cause they don't meet at the Briar Shop. We're not we were honestly just not big enough to have that many guys in the shop. And so they meet at a shop called Stogie's. But there was another pipe shop in town where the pipe club had traditionally met since its inception. And when they closed down, they moved there. And I found out about the pipe club through my coworker, Austin. He's been a regular at the pipe club, I guess, ever since he's found out about it. And so that's where we've been going. A lot of people ask, you know, why don't the pipe club meet at the Briar Shop? And it's honestly, it's just because of the size and space. You know, we've got a large group of cigar guys, and we've got a pretty good, there's a really large group of pipe guys, especially when it comes to pipe club time, and it's just not enough room in the space for it.
Well, you know, the great thing is, I say great thing. I mean, I think it is. When you have a pipe gathering for a pipe club, you have to not just accommodate for the individuals, you have to accommodate for their bags.
Their bags.
Because they, like, everybody brings their lunch boxes or their tackle boxes or their leather bounds, perfectly like suited, you know, whatever it may be. And I mean, there is some strong like representation at the pipe club.
Oh yes.
It's not you. I think it's someone else who brings the makeup case.
Yeah, that's his name's Lane.
Lane's rocking the makeup case, and it is decked out.
Yep.
Not with makeup, with pipes of pipe tobacco.
Pipes and pipe tobacco. There's a camera, old Pelican case, camera boxes that people bring.
Yeah, that thing is awesome. Yeah.
Austin, he carries around an old doctor's bag.
Like, it's so cool. Like it's one of the things that you see in a lot of different pipe clubs. But not like everybody wants to show off their brand new pipe, or everybody wants to show off like whatever their favorite pipe is, their expensive pipe, that sort of thing. But then like there's this whole other element to it of everybody has different means of carrying all this stuff.
Right.
And maybe it's because we're in Texas, but like I feel like the showing out at the Texas Pipe Club or at the Houston Pipe Club meetings is a little bit, and this is no disrespect to my friends back in Jackson, yo, I love and miss all of y'all, but like these people represent, like Tanner's like, right, he's got like this massive case next to him right now.
Yeah,
it's like a huge leather bound thing from like some New York Times journalist thing from like 100 years ago.
Oh yeah, it's
we got the story, we got the typewriter right here.
Yeah, you know? Right here. Yeah, it's a Gladstone bag I picked up in Budapest.
It's epic.
It is epic, but it's large because it can hold my computer, a book in there, my notebook and my pipes and everything. And so I just, it's mostly for work purposes, and it smells like pipes and pipe tobacco now, so that's what it's relegated to. But
many of us can relate to that feeling. Yeah. Now that's awesome, man. All right, well, very cool. So ultimately the Houston community is pretty strong when it comes to
quite strong.
Yeah.
Quite strong and growing every day, you know. I always try to be sure that, you know, that's one of my main goals at work at the shop, is just to, you know, I want this community to continue to grow, to get stronger. And the best way to do that is to give them a good experience and a good first experience smoking a pipe too. And so that's where we are. I mean, it's a lot of young people in the Houston pipe community. You know, you've got your older guys, you've got your Mike Buteras and your Lanes, but mostly everyone's right around that 40 and to 23 years old kind of range. And we've got young guys. Unfortunately, Texas just passed laws. You have to be 21 in order to smoke now, or even to enter an establishment that's specifically for tobacco.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I probably should know that living here now, but it'll be a long time before my kids are even.
Yeah. So your children can't even be accompanied into one anymore.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. The kids cannot.
Not until 21.
Yeah.
So if you're 18 years old, you can't go. Interesting.
Yep. Even if you're accompanied.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that is specific to Texas.
Specific to Texas. And there's a grandfather clause. So if you were born before September 1st, 2001, then you're grandfathered in. You can still do it. And Gotcha. If you're going into the military, say you just turned 18, you're going to the military, there's an exemption for you as well.
Yeah, as well as alcohol and pretty much anything.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like, thank you for serving your country. Here, what else did you need?
Yes, like, take whatever you would like.
Whatever you need. Well, that's really interesting. Okay, well, good deal. So despite that, though, there is a diversity of age in the Texas.
Diversity of age, diversity of cultures, too. I mean, we're the most culturally diverse city in the U.S. now. Yeah. We've passed up New York City. We have either passed or are soon to surpass Chicago as the third largest city in
the U.S. Take that, Chicago!
So, with that, you know, the pipe community is really reflective of that, of the change. You know, at the pipe shop, you know, we'll have Christians, you know, Muslims, Hindus, atheists, white, black, yellow, brown, you know, just all at the shop, and it's great. You know, Houston, everyone kind of thinks of Texas as kind of being, the stigma on the South, but Houston is just, honestly, people don't believe it until they experience it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's one of the things that I've appreciated the most being here is just the true melting pot. Like, mm-hmm. if they say that, America is ideally at its best when it is a melting pot. Well, Houston is that melting pot.
Right. Well, and the country right now experiencing so much racial tensions, that Houston really is just kind of...
It's this outlier. Well, man, so with kind of the... I do want to kind of make mention of this. If people want to get more information about the Houston Pipe Club, what's the best way to reach out?
The best way to reach out is, I believe, they're going online. Houston Pipe Club... I think there's a Facebook page.
There's also an email distribution list as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so just get on the Facebook page and then shoot them a message, and you can get put yourself on the email list, and they'll send you out an email reminding you of when meetings are, different little updates and stuff like that just going on. And that's how to do it.
All right. Well, good deal. You know, another way to do things the right way is by enjoying a good pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Missouri Meerschaum.
Yeah. So, you know, like last week, I talked about my favorite pipe with the Country Gentleman. What's your favorite pipe?
My favorite Missouri Meerschaum is the Mark Twain.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that just kind of canonical shape that...
cylindrical?
Canonical. It's a cone.
It's a canonical. Okay. I didn't know that canonical was the right phrasology for
I think it may be.
Cone. Conical. Cornucopical. Anyway, so the Mark Twain.
It does resemble a cornucopia. You can put a cornucopia of tobacco inside of it.
That's true.
That's for sure. It's got a really generous bowl. And just that shape of it. It's very comfortable to hold in your hand.
Yeah.
And I like it to have that bent version of it. And that's my favorite. The nice thick walls. And that's just feel like you're smoking a substantial just pipe, you know.
That's right. It can take the heat. It can take a nice good bowl of tobacco as well. And of course, if you've got a Mark Twain, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture of yourself doing so. Tweet it out to us. We'd love to retweet it out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know. We appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. The pipe question of the week is kind of carrying his piggybacking, if you will, off of the topic. And that is, how do you cultivate pipe community in your own hometown? Now, we here at Country Squire Radio have actually done episodes kind of centric to this, but I think you bring some unique perspective because you're someone who has seen all of these different kind of groups coming together, the local pipe shop being a meeting place for different folks to kind of come together. So what are kind of some best practices that you've observed in people who are creating community within their pipe community?
I think... from my experience, it's really happened organically, but I think if you're setting out to intentionally do it, I think honestly the best way to do it is find the other pipe smokers. If you know of them or if you don't know of them, just start being out in public smoking your pipe. Someone's going to approach you sooner or later. Be at a place where there's other people. Learn to start meeting people. And don't be afraid to teach somebody to smoke a pipe. You know, some of the best way to build something is from the ground up, and you've got to, you know, maybe it just takes teaching someone else how to do it and multiply that way to get a community growing. And I think the best thing that's helped kind of our little community we've got going at the shop is just being generous. You know, everyone always is going to be open to share something, whether that's their tobacco, alcohol, whatever it is, food, just have a willingness to share and not be too gritty about that that tin of Frog Morton you've got holding on to.
Well, hey, now I don't know that I can sign off on that. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I'm just kidding. I've had very generous listeners of the show who have graciously given me full things of Frog Morton. So I yes, that is a very good thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do. That, it is because of that level of generosity. I think that's what will really, really build people around.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. So, with a lot of folks kind of reaching out to the show, kind of wishing that they had a Briar Shop or wishing that they had a Country Squire in their hometown. But the reality is not really having that.
Right.
What would you recommend to them? I mean, you know, it's one thing to be at that pipe shop and be that individual who's out, you know, like somebody walks to the door, hey, let me show you, let me help you out. You know, you just bought that pipe, you know, come sit with us. We'll teach you. What if you don't have that space? What if they're actually doing their shopping or finding their first pipe or tobaccos online?
Well, then I think there's great resources for that online. You've got the YouTube pipe community. It's going pretty strong. You've got the pipe tobacco subreddit and different other pipe smoking forums, a speakeasy club that kind of branched off of the pipe smoking subreddit. And, you know, there's people on there from all over the world. And that's really, if there's another pipe smoker out there and they're doing the same thing you're doing, they're going to be there. And so you'll find them. And maybe there's a way that you can build community. You know, maybe open up your backyard, your patio, you know, one night a month or something and create a little get together yourself. Yeah.
And that's good. I mean, those channels, you know, if you're going to YouTube, for example, and connecting with those folks on YouTube, those other people in your hometown are doing the exact same thing.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm a big proponent of creating content for your local community. Back in Jackson, we did a lot of different, you know, locally focused podcasts and really kind of supported people who were doing mm-hmm. locally focused stuff. So, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe it is, a hometown pipesmokerblog.com or whatever it may be, but putting that out there and starting it there. There's been a lot of folks who've mentioned like, oh, you know, I reached out to some guys at church or whatever. And you know, we were like, oh, we're all going to meet on, you know, so-and-so's porch once a month. And then only two people came. And they say that as if it's a bad thing. And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the beginning right there. Like that's good. Like if you can get those first few folks together, even if it is just you and two other dudes, like that's the beginning of something right there.
Right. Yeah.
I think a lot of people get discouraged because early on there's not this like wealth of interest around it.
Right.
And you have to almost kind of like prove the concept. And this is just universally true of anything. You have to kind of build something from the ground up. And so don't be discouraged if it's just you and two friends you would have been hanging out with anyway. Like, this is just the beginning.
Right.
And you could each kind of bring a friend if you want to, or you could just enjoy y'all small group company. But that's going to be what's going to build over time.
And as long as it's that small group, put yourself out in public where people will see you and spark some interest.
Lunting. Hashtag lunting, man.
Lunting. Get out, walk around, walk your dog, smoke your pipe.
That's good, man. I love it. Well, hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, be sure to send those into the show. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Ow! You did it. You did the thing.
Yeah, I did the thing. I just felt like I'm here as well.
That was good. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot. All right. So last week, last time you were on, man, we asked the question of mess with Texas, and you said no, as any proper Texan would.
Yeah, you don't mess with Texas.
I said yes, because this next series of quick fire questions I've got for you is the theme is messing with Texas.
Oh, fantastic.
All right. So here we go. Dallas or Austin?
Dallas.
Really? Are you originally from Dallas?
I'm originally from Port Arthur.
Okay. So, but why Dallas?
No true Texan likes Austin.
What? See, this is why I'm a Mississippian living in Texas. I love Austin. All right. Fair enough. But I feel like them's fighting
Texans
words.
Don't live in Austin.
Austin, you know that
Californians live in Austin.
You know that like our largest percentage of listeners come from Austin.
They're probably not native though.
Well, that's probably true of most people in Houston as well. All right, cool. So Dallas, I'm going to say Austin because I'm not a true Texan apparently. All right, next up, And I realize, and I'm about to say this, and everybody knows I'm not the sports guy, and I'm not like comparing these. I realize these are two different sports. But when it comes to representing Houston, all okay. right, Astros or Rockets?
Astros.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a baseball guy?
I am.
Okay, gotcha. I mean, like, Houston's pretty good about showing up for any of the teams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Houston's got good fans.
I'm going to go with Rockets. I can't get into baseball, man. I've tried and tried and tried. It's too much math.
Yeah.
But no, it's good. All right. So, barbecue or chili?
Barbecue.
Yeah. Which kind of barbecue?
Which kind of barbecue?
Yeah, I mean, like, is it brisket? Are you going ribs?
Brisket.
Brisket barbecue. Okay.
Salt, pepper.
I'm right there with you. 100%.
No sauce.
All right. Fill in this word. All right. This is going to be like, this is kind of a weird one. I'm going to say a statement.
It's like an ad lib, mad lib.
Kind of like that. I'm going to say a statement. You have to say the next word, the first word that comes to your mind, but you cannot say the word problem. Okay. I think you already know where this is going. All right. Here's the statement. Houston, we have a.
Oh, this is good. This is a lot harder. Man, the brain does not want to say anything other than problem. All right, let's try that again.
Try that again. All right,
ready. Yeah, let's try that again.
Houston, we have a
pipe.
Ah! That'll work. That'll work. And then finally, I'll ask you one more time. Mess with Texas, yes or no?
No.
No. And we have just found out why you don't mess with Texas. See, I brought it full circle.
That was good. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, I thought that was fun. I know that the like quick fire response as opposed to quick fire question is a little bit out of the norm. And all I asked Brian was like Mickey Mouse versus Iron Man. So there you go.
Oh, it's tricky. When you say Houston, we have a, your brain cannot fill in the other thing other than problem.
Right. Yeah.
It's ubiquitous.
Yeah. It's just funny how that works out. Well, hey, those are quick fire questions, of course, brought to you by the amazing Country Squire Radio t-shirts available at thecountrysquireonline.com. We still got some This Is Not a Podcast shirts, which, by the way, if I had done it, I would have said, Houston, we have a podcast. Which I'm sure is the name of a podcast out there.
Oh, I bet it is.
It's got to be.
If it's not, then that should get somebody.
Somebody's going to do
it. You should patent that.
No. See, this is the thing.
Trademark that name.
When I moved to Houston, like, you know, back home, I was like the podcast guy. Now, there's tons of great podcasters back home. But I was kind of a known entity from that standpoint. Coming to Houston, you know, like, you've got exotic bird breeders here in Houston.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you've got, like my Nintendo Switch or the, my kid's Nintendo Switch broke, the other day. And if I was back home in Jackson, I'd be like, well, guess I have to buy an entire new Switch. But I'm like, no, you've got technicians here. That
oh
can
yeah.
Fix
someone
this
can
kind
fix
of
that.
Stuff. Exactly. So yeah, I go in, I look for like, you know, locally focused Houston podcasts. Yeah, there's tons of them.
Oh yeah,
and the me equivalent here is already well beyond anything I was doing. So I'm like, yeah, what? Let's see, I think I'm done with podcasting. What else is out here? Immersive theater. That's what I'm gonna go do. So anyway, but yeah, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on Country Squire and Country Squire Radio and filling in.
Yeah,
for John
thanks
David.
For having me,
man. So before I let you go, though, I know we've already kind of talked a bit about it. Obviously, the big talk was the shop. But if people want to order from the shop, get products, learn more about what's going on, events, and of course the grand reopening, which will be occurring. Sometime.
Yeah. So initially our grand opening was scheduled to be, I think we said when we announced it last year at our cigar dinner, we said it was going to be in April. That was last October. And here we are looking October in the face.
Yeah.
And looking like it's going to be mid to the end of October.
Okay.
Permitting has been the biggest issue, just getting in that new space.
Sure.
The air conditioning as well was another huge one because we had to, the building had to get up to standards for us to be able to smoke inside. So had to fabricate it with a pump out unit, had to get sort of special air conditioning unit that's on the roof of the building now that looks like an alien spaceship. It's the strangest thing, but Yes.
That's what's going to happen. I told you, man, Houston, we're the gateway to the world. So the aliens are going to come here. They're going to be like, oh, that someone already came.
They picked the Briar Shop first. The Briar Shop.
That's awesome. Well, great. So, all right. So where can people find out what products y'all have, order from you, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So best way is on social media, Facebook, Instagram, giving us a call in. Our phone number is on both of those. So just give us a call, and myself or one of my other friendly fellow coworkers will get on with you.
Friendly Neighborhood Tobacconist.
Friendly Neighborhood Tobacconist.
There you go. Well, hey, of course, you can keep up with the show as well. At Squire Radio is the Twitter handle. Also, CountrySquireOnline.com is the place to check out the shop. You can find @_CountrySquire as well on Twitter, as well as myself @TheRealBoYork and John David Cole @JohnDavidCole. All that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, as well as our social information as well on like the Facebooks. And as I mentioned, the Twitter is already... we will be promoting out once the grand return of John David comes on. Let me ask you this, Tanner. What when John David returns to the show, what do you think? Should we play like Return of the Mac? I know I called our Mac Baron episode that, but I was thinking about like that. Really, we should play that song when John David comes back.
I think that'd be good.
I don't know that he's cool enough for that one, though. Like it needs to be something else.
I mean, he's already pretty humble enough, you know? So I think that would make him... Yeah,
he comes across humble, but you don't get that hairstyle and be as humble as he comes across. You know, like, there's too much product there.
Okay. True. I wonder what conditioner he uses.
I'm sure it's quite a few.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's got a regimen.
I should not tell this story, but I'm going to anyway. So John David and I used to live in the... I hope he doesn't listen to this, but I know he won't. John David and I listened to the same neighborhood. And buddy, if you are listening, I'm so sorry. We lived in the same neighborhood for quite some time, and he's got a dog that we've mentioned before, Penny.
Uh-huh.
Well, and those who have seen John David Cole, you know, he's been called Tobacco Jesus because of his long flowing mane. I was walking or in my car one day driving home to the neighborhood, and I see someone I think is John David Cole walking a dog that looks a lot like Penny. And I'm about to roll down my window and say, hey, to my buddy. And as I roll it down, she turns her head.
Oh.
And I just speed off. And that's all I'll say about that.
Oh.
She did not have the beard.
No.
No.
That would have been funny if she did.
She did have the style and the hair and the dog. She might have been a John David Cole fangirl.
Could have been.
Yeah.
John David's got his own fan.
Could have been Mark VV. You never know. I'm just kidding, buddy. Anyway. Well, good stuff. Well, hey, Tanner, like I said, thank you so much for coming on the show and filling those shoes.
Yeah, honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, hey, man, let's go have a day.
Let's have a day. Thank you.